Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Todd Quinn's SharePoint Podcast number 315, recorded live Monday, November 21st, Turkey Week here in the U.S., 2016. I am your host and the founder of Todd Clint's SharePoint Podcast, Todd Clint. You can reach me at Twitter at Todd Clint, Instagram at Todd Clint, Tinder, Grindr, Blender, all of those. I'm everywhere. Reach out, touch me. You can also email me at todd.clint@rackspace.com, but not right now because I'm on vacation, so I'm not checking my work email. But you can do all that. So I notice a disturbance in the force. That must be you, Shane. Tell the nice folks who you are.
Hi, my name is Shane Young, and I am the one that is very sad that Todd was undeported. Todd, you missed it on last week's show, and since you haven't produced it, they haven't heard it yet. But you were deported last week thanks to our new president-elect's policies, and I don't know how you got back in, but I'm not very happy.
Well, I can tell you my experience last night in Atlanta, it damn near worked. You almost got your wish. The Customs and Border Patrol and TSA, it's like they were surprised that an airplane full of hundreds of people were going to try to get through the airport, and they were caught completely unaware and had no idea how to process any of that. It was ridiculous.
Well, you know, for those of you that feel like this is a shame, you have ideas to get Todd redeported, you can always hit me up at Shane's Cows. Send me some tweets, some ideas, or, you know, if you want to use my services to have him removed, good old Bold Zebras is happy to help with that. So just find a way to get him deported, folks. And I God bless those people in Atlanta for almost not letting you back in.
Yeah, they nearly had their wish. It was madness. And as many times as I've come into the United States through Atlanta, last night was probably the worst experience I've ever had. It was crazy.
When you have global entry, right? So you should just be able to kind of walk right on in.
Yeah, the customs part was pretty easy. It was the security part after you have to take your bag back in and then go through security again. That was just ridiculous. There were so many things about that were wrong and crazy. But one of them was the security line that I was going through ran out of baskets to put my stuff through. And there's no pre-check there. So I had to take everything out of everything everywhere. We'll leave those jokes alone. But I was like two baskets into my four baskets worth of laptops and tablets and everything. And some lady comes over from another line. They had run out of baskets and she took the last two baskets out of our thing. So I ran out of baskets in the middle of my load of stuff and there's no more baskets. And so I flagged down the TSA lady. I'm like, we need more baskets. It probably took her 5 minutes to get more baskets. And so nobody can go through security because nobody can go through without these baskets. And our line's out, the line from the lady who came and stole ours was out. It was crazy.
Sounds almost as bad as my trip to Costco today.
Yes, I'm sure your trip to Costco was...
I'm working on empathy here. You got to meet me halfway.
Yeah, you keep working. That's all I have to say about that. Production notes, we'll move. So I guess sponsors, SharePoint.rackspace.com, rackspace.com/Microsoft. You've already talked about your sock selling business. That one's out there, boldzebras.com. Hit Shane up there for all of your deportation needs and all of that. Production notes. So for those of you that were here 2 weeks ago for number 313, and for those of you that have been here for 315 live, we've had some audio trouble. The Google Hangouts are trying to voice their disapproval of Shane by making his voice very scratchy. And somehow, something I would have thought not possible until 2 weeks ago, made his voice even more annoying to listen to than it already was. It's very scratchy. We're having some problems. So...
Now, I thought you would go the other way of that joke and say that they found a way to make my voice sound better in the process. It's kind of interesting, right? You could have zigged or zagged there.
But any of them are a ding against you. You can't go wrong. Yeah, so I have not produced 313 yet because I wasn't sure what to do with all the audio problems that we were having. And so Shane and I talked about it today. We had a production meeting, and we just decided to go ahead and do it. I put a little tag at the beginning that said, hey, Shane sucks even worse than normal. But what we found both on this over the last few weeks, and Shane had the same experience with Laura's podcast here a couple weeks ago. Are you guys all noticing the common thread here? Yeah. Anyway, but the Google Hangouts are starting to have some problems once you get two or three people in here. So we're looking at other options to see what we can do because the audio quality is paramount.
Oh, I'm sorry. All I heard you say there was that Shane was in such demand that he's on the Laura show. He's on the Todd show. I mean, I'm probably going to be on The View next. That's all I heard there.
Yeah. So Oprah's going to come out of retirement just so she can put you on.
I mean, could you imagine me jumping on the couch?
Yeah. Oh, geez. So yeah, so stick with us. And I haven't listened to 314 yet, which is the one that Shane did by himself, but I'm sure we'll try to get those out as quickly as we can. But Hangouts really has gone downhill in the last month.
I got nothing to say other than yes.
Yeah. So before the wheels completely fall off this cart, just know that I'm working on those and we'll get those out as soon as we can, which is funny because at the beginning of 313, we spend a whole bunch of time. That was the one right before election day. We spend a bunch of time talking about how it's going to be so long till I put it out. I just wanted to give you the finger while I was listening to that.
I just thought it was, I'm showing my foreshadowing, my know it. I was watching Harry Potter. What did they call that lady who could see the future but couldn't see the future?
I've never seen a Harry Potter movie. I've never read a Harry Potter book. I've never dressed up like Harry Potter for Halloween.
You're missing out. I've seen probably an hour of all the movies combined, but I've read all the books. I really enjoyed them. I'm not going to lie. They were good.
So what age is the youngest one? My oldest daughter's 9. Is it good enough for her? Could she follow along without getting too scared?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about her getting scared. They're pretty easy reads. I thought that 12 was kind of their target, but I'm guessing, 12 in the common education system is probably equates to, your 9-year-old. So I bet she'd be okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll read them to her.
Yeah, they're good. And they're just, they're just really fast reads, right? There's none of them big words that confuse people like me. So you just kind of work your way through I mean, she did a really good job. The imagery and things like that, you can really feel like one of the movies, or one of the books, there's this epic fight scene at the end, right? There's like 12 on 12, the wizards doing all this wizarding fighting in a library, I think. And so you read it and you've got this great picture. And then I watched that part in one of the movies. And I'm like, that's terrible. That is not what was in my head. Try again.
Yeah, that'll happen. It's funny that even the screen being visual is so much more limited, so much less literary qualities. I've read all the Jack Reacher books. I watched the Jack Reacher movie a couple of years ago, liked it, read the books. New book came out here a couple of weeks ago, and I read that, and the movie misses pieces. You can't put as much in the movies. I've not seen the new one though.
And that's where I was real happy. Now we're in book critics, right? But I was really happy with The Martian. I thought the movie for that one, they did a good job on, painting the right picture. They skipped some stuff that I would have liked to have seen in there. But overall, they told a really good story with that movie.
The Martian, yeah. So I agree completely. I think the Martian is a great example of how they did that well. And the book, the movie had all of the things that the book had. I think the thing that the book had was it had more landscape to be able to tell the depth of it better. Like the movie, I feel like I didn't feel his loneliness as deep as it was in the book. I didn't feel like the dread or the possibility of him getting stranded was as deep as it was in the book. But I think it's just a limitation. They've got, 2 hours. And if you read anything about, screenplays, it's about one page per minute of film. So now you think about, 120 pages of screenplay. That's a 2-hour movie. And you think about how big the books are. So they got to cut a lot of stuff out.
So what you're saying is I could probably write 20 pages.
Yes.
Now what you're saying, is that the point?
Yeah, that's exactly what I didn't want to come right out and say it right to your face. You get a big head. If you haven't seen The Martian, I talk about it in depth a bunch of podcasts ago. Great movie, great book. Couldn't love it more if I tried.
All right, so I
was talking to Shane before the show and a little bit at the beginning of the show here. I have been completely out of the loop for the last week. I was on vacation starting last Saturday, and I was in Saint Lucia, which is an island in the South Caribbean right off the coast of Venezuela for the most part, and the internet connection in our room was terrible, so I just didn't do any internet-y stuff. I didn't see what was online. And so we're recording this Monday afternoon at 4:00. I got into my house about 12 hours ago and went to sleep and all that. So I just haven't had a chance to keep up on stuff. So we're just kind of spitball this one. So the first thing I want to talk about was my vacation. So we went to St. Lucia, which is island in the South Caribbean.
No, no, folks, the show didn't skip. It didn't repeat. Todd just repeated himself. It's okay.
Shut up. So we stayed at a Sandals resort, which is nice. We've stayed at a few Sandals before. They are adults only, but in the PG rated term, it's way less fun than it sounds when you say adults only. Just means you can't have kids there. And it's all, and this one, it turns out, is all newlyweds. So like every place we went, like, who's newlyweds? And it's everybody except for my wife and I are holding up our hands. Cause it's all honeymooners. But that was a good time. A couple of things I wanted to talk about. Number one was the island is a volcanic, you know, thing, like everything out there is. And there are two big mountains called the Pitons, which is French for mountaintop. And there is the big one, Gros Piton, which is, you know, G-R-O-S. And then the small one, Petit Piton. And the big one you can climb or hike. And so Jill got this great idea that we should do that. So Wednesday we did that. And holy crap, was that a lot of work. So the mountain is 2,600 feet high, so half a mile-ish. And when we started, the base camp was like 500 feet, something like that. So we had to climb 2,000 feet up this mountain. And it was a hell of a lot of work. It took us 2 hours to get up there. It's about a 2 mile hike. And physically, so I've been in pretty good shape this year. So physically, I wasn't hurting too bad. But I have a terrifying fear of heights, which climbing mountains is not a good combination with the fear of heights. Fortunately, this mountain doesn't get above the tree line, so there's a lot of trees, and I couldn't, you know. But like we stopped like a quarter, half, three quarters, and everybody's like, oh, look at this view. And I'm like, yep, I'm good. Got my face against the mountain, hugging the inside track. I'm good right where I'm at. But that was a good time.
Yeah, well, that's a great example, folks, of why you should be friends with Todd on Facebook. Got to see a picture of Todd in tank top as he trekked his way up that mountain, and a little sun's out, guns out. It was some nice pasty white, looked like McDonald's straws, quite frankly, not a tank top, but you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, and what you can't see from that picture is the way you. So that's at the peak of the mountain. The picture that Shane's downloading has in his as his wallpaper right now. And you kind of come out of this wooded area, and then you're at the top, and it's this, you know, this open spot. I got just far enough out so that I wasn't in the way of the people coming out, and just kind of went off to the side. And so just like, oh, come out here. Let's get our picture. I'm like, yep, I'm good. So that picture's me clinging just as close to the inside of that mountaintop as I can.
I forget about your fear height sometimes. That's you should have went with Jonathan and I the time we went out to Mount Rainier from in Redmond there, and went out and we're driving around this cliff going 55 miles an hour, hanging off the side of a cliff. He was pretty sweaty. I'm guessing you might have, you know, passed out.
Yeah, and so St. Lucia as an island, it's pretty small. There's like 170,000 people on the island. And the airport that we flew into is in the south tip of the island, and the resort that we were staying at is the north tip of the island. Not a big island, not a big drive. About 90 minutes, but it's all these hairpin turns and up and down mountains. And for the first time in my life, in my 42 years, I got car sick. It was bad. And going up wasn't so bad because we had a private car, so we weren't in a van or anything. But then when we went down to climb the Pitons, we had to get in that thing. And half the van was car sick before we got there. It was they were just
Sorry, folks. We were just interrupted in the chat room by Blake Olson posting a picture of Todd and his, McDonald's straws. It's the only thing I can come up with.
This is one of the ways you can get banned from Slack, by posting, graphic material.
Oh, best moment ever.
Oh, yep. It was good while you're here, Blake. Enjoy your, your recess. Yep. But a good time. So if you ever go to St. Lucia, by all means, climb, the Pitons. You can go to grospiton.com and, see all about that. It was a good time. So the other thing that happened, if you ever stay at a resort or go on a cruise, they have all these activities and stuff. So one night they had a Dancing with the Stars thing where they would bring some of the dancing folks from the entertainment crew there, and they would pull people out and make them dance and do the Dancing with the Stars thing. So on our cruise that Jill and I took 5 years ago, I got pulled out to be one of the dancers. and I can't dance, and it was horrible and embarrassing and all that stuff. So we sat down for this one, and before they started this, they asked for judges, and I'm like, well, they can't make me a dancer if I'm a judge. So I volunteered to be a judge. So it turned out, I think it's my calling. I think it's the thing I was put on earth to do. I was on stage with a microphone, and my job was to make fun of the people that were dancing. It was amazing.
See, all these years of hanging out with me, got some practice in, right?
It was, I had them rolling. It was great. I had stuff. So like this one woman, she had like leather pants and high heels. And I was talking about, I had the same pair of pants that I almost wore them that night. Didn't have the same heels, you know, I didn't need it, but it was a good time. So I had a good time with that. One of my favorite moments. The other thing I wanted to talk about was, as a nerd, I pay attention to nerd stuff. The resort had wireless everywhere, but all the wireless access points were outside, and they were in little, around here we have things called little free libraries. I don't know if you've got them where you're at, but they're like little wooden things. They have books in them and people come get them. And okay. So it was basically like those same style things, but they were completely enclosed, and that's where all the access points were in. So two things about that. Number one, they were all outside while most of the people were inside, you know, like in their rooms, and there were no access points inside that I could tell. And number two, they had the 5 gigahertz stuff on, which is faster, but can't go through walls very well. So they had the access point immediately inside of a wall and then another wall to get to the people with the electronics that are trying to use. It was terrible, the wireless.
Well, up until that moment, this section said, segment was sponsored by Sandals, 1-800-SANDALS for all of your vacations. But now that Todd's ruined it because you can't get Wi-Fi, I don't know why anybody would go. So,
yeah, so they had a little feedback thing, and I sent them some feedback, and it was very, very friendly, very positive. They didn't have self-serving soft-serve ice cream like you and I demand, so I gave them some thumbs down on that.
That's terrible. And
that, yeah, I almost left. I almost just walked off the island. But then I realized I would drown, so I stayed. But then I talked about the wireless stuff, too. They were very, very cool about it. Anyway, that was fun.
There you go. Now we're a half hour into the show, and we've gotten through Todd not getting ice cream and a Sandals commercial.
And Danner dying climbing a mountain. Yeah.
And dying from jumping into the ocean. I assumed you were a strong swimmer, but I could see where maybe with those straws, maybe not.
Shut up. So let's see you get the guns out there, tough guy.
Oh, look at that. You see that?
What time is it over here?
Right there. Which way to the gym? All right, is it the worst show ever? Where's Gloria to tell us to knock it off?
Get scuba in, show us some. The other thing that I want to do, I wanted to give a shout out to Andrew Maxey. A month ago, when I was flying over to Europe, I discovered mid-flight that the charger for my Surface Pro 2 died, which was a big deal because I planned on doing all my presentations from that because I had, you know, the VGA adapters and all that. So I was out on Twitter whining about it. Andrew saw my whines, had a charger laying around, and just sent it to me. And I hooked it up today, and it's charging my Surface Pro. And so hugs and kisses to Andrew Maxey for hooking me up.
Very nice. Either that or hugs and kisses to Andrew Maxey for hacking your home with an electronic device. One of the two.
Oh, crap.
Right inside the things that they sent me from China. You just plugged it in.
Son of a. Oh, they got me again.
No, nice. That was nice, Andrew.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, and I've been using a little, well, I don't know if it's a little known fact or not, but for the first two generations, the RT chargers would also charge the pros, but very slowly. So that's what I've been muddling around with, but all that.
Very good. Well, speaking of thank yous, I wanted to say thank you to Jerry LeCanoe as well.
What did he do?
I'm not going to tell you what he did because he did something that was probably not wasn't supposed to do, but he did me a huge favor. And so we're just going to say thank you for the favor and not talk about what he did.
I will just have to let my imagination go wild with that one.
Yeah, that's the good news is, though, is my Office 365 account works now. So
say no more.
Exactly. So thank you, Jerry.
So you've got something to hear about Double Dare. Tell us about that, Shane.
So I win the internet today for finding this article. I'm sure all of you are like Todd and myself, right? 30 or 40-year-old computer nerds who, one of the highlights of our day when we got home from school was watching Nickelodeon and watching Double Dare, right? They played in the slime and the yuck and the muck.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's what we did. That and the NES Classics, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? Those are just things of our generation. So this article, it is a walkthrough with the producers and the set designers and the executives that made Double Dare happen. And they actually kind of go through, you know, what it took to come up with the obstacles, and they tell stories about, apparently after they did the first year, they thought they were going to cancel, so they could clean up all the stuff very good. They wrote out the stuff for the second year, and they all got a rash. Turned out the show was really gross, like not just gross from the slide, but gross because it was all built with these projects that they didn't come up with. Really long piece of thing.
So the bad news is, right after you started explaining that, it got scratchy. And it still is. I'm going to mute you quick and see if that fixes it. All right. I muted you. It went away. Try to unmute yourself.
Right here? How about there? And I bet it just came back.
It did.
Not as bad as it was. Well, then you tell my Double Dare story. You didn't read the articles, though, so you're going to have a hard time.
No, I didn't read all the article. But basically what Shane was saying was, and I love these little things, being a nerd like I am, anything I have any interest in, I just have to have an encyclopedic knowledge of. Every movie I watch, I have to go look up at IMDb and check the trivia and the Wikipedia pages and all that kind of stuff. So Shane was talking about this article that he found about Double Dare that we all watched on TV, and just, you know, behind the scenes, how they created the obstacles and all that, and about how they didn't think it was going to get renewed after the first season, so they didn't clean everything up. And if you watched it, there was oatmeal and slime and all that, and how sounds like they nearly died when they went to film the second season because all the creepy crawlies and nasty stuff that had been on there. Yeah, and the funny thing about that is that Mark Summers, the host of that, he's apparently like OCD or something. And so he's like one of these guys that won't shake your hand and won't touch doorknobs and stuff like that. So I imagine for him, it was just super bad. Or maybe that's how he got started that way. I don't know. Yeah, Double Dare was a lot of fun. I remember as a kid watching that, trying to figure out, you know, which of my friends I'd want to go on with and all that. It would have never been you. Never, never. All right. So do you want to try to jump in and talk about topic E?
I can try.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Nice to know. All right. So just a quick note that support for the 2013 version of Office 365 Pro Plus ends next February 28th, 2017. So if you guys are still using Office 2013 with your Office 365 subscriptions, you're going to need to upgrade that because that support's going away. Hopefully that doesn't affect everyone. If you got the free upgrades, take them. 2016, yeah, it's kind of like SharePoint 2016. It's pretty much the same as 2013, but it works a little better, a little faster. So just a quick note there for you guys to mark off the list. Now you're muted.
Yep. So, you know, like you, I've got the MVP dealio and all that, and Office 365, and I didn't used to use the Office 365 version because it would update in the background and do all that crazy stuff. But on a couple of my machines, I've got that, and it's been working pretty well, and I've just not had a lot of problems. Windows 10, on the other hand, has had some rough updates the last couple. But yeah, with Office 2016, yeah, I just let it run, and it updates itself, and everything's fine.
I haven't had a single problem with Office, but Windows, oh God. My biggest one still is the fact that Control C only works like 50% of the time. And that just kills my productivity to no end.
So I'm pretty sure it doesn't work in Edge at all. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a known deal. Is that half of your it not working?
Probably. I mean, sometimes it's coming out of other things, but yeah, it's usually Edge related.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's an Edge thing.
So I use Chrome now for probably 75% of my work. It's very sad, but Edge is terrible.
Yeah, the only time I ever fire Edge up is when I click the wrong icon and think I'm firing up Internet Explorer. That's yeah. The only.
Well, one of the big things I've liked about Chrome that I've pointed out a couple times, now I'm going to be a commercial, is that Grammarly. I've been using it, and I'm a big fan, right? As a guy who doesn't know how to use a comma to save his life, Grammarly's always like, hey, dumbass.
I can't remember where I was, and I was talking about something, and I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of a stickler for some of this grammar stuff. This guy I do presentations with, it was schooled in Kentucky as much as you can be, And now it just puts grammatical errors in just because he likes to see my head explode. So I've gotten to tell the story of your miseducation recently.
I wouldn't want you to lose your mind, right? So speaking of Office stuff, Office Online server has been updated. I think they announced that last week, midweek. And so, you know, what they did is they rolled in a bunch of performance fixes and kind of content fixes. But I think one of the important, interesting notes about that was Office Online server is you've got to uninstall it and reinstall it. There is no patch like we do with SharePoint. So it's a nuke and pave type of scenario. And they're saying that they're going to put out a new version about every 4 months. So apparently here in the next week and a half or so, they're going to give us a full update on that schedule. But something to plan for if you are doing on-prem deployments and using Office Online servers, the patching story is still kind of up in the air.
Yeah, and that was one of those things. I think it was SharePoint Conference 2012, you and I were doing a session, and that was when the Office Online servers first had to be on their own servers, and some guy, and you know, so you and I are talking up there, and we're like, oh, you got to put it on your own server, and he's all...
Yep.
And he's like, well, you can put it on. You can put it on. I've done it. You can put them on together. You can put SharePoint and Office web apps on a server together. And we're like, all right. So have you updated those yet? No. Why? I'm like, well, because when you update Office web apps, you have to uninstall them. And when you do that, it wipes out IIS. And imagine how SharePoint feels about that. And yeah.
Yeah, that was a special day of audience participation.
Yeah. Boy, he had his heels dug in hard, too. He was in it.
He was smarter than us. He just needed us to know that.
He really, really did, yeah. But that just goes to show, I mean, that's been four coming up on 5 years ago, and that story's been the same. And so that's one of those things where when Microsoft gives guidance about, you know, don't install SQL servers on domain controllers and that kind of stuff, they mean it. They know what they're doing.
Or at least they know they're going to make up the rules that adhere to that and make themselves look smart later.
Yep. So Daniel Glenn in the chat room is asking, so would the best practice be to build a new server, add it to the server farm, remove the old server, and then kill the old one? Probably. I haven't mixed and matched versions of Office Online server yet, so I assume that will work. But I don't know. That'd be something that if you've done that, test it out and let us know, but I assume that's what you would do. Take you know, add a new one, add it to the load balancer, take the old one out. You're scratching again.
I was going to say the same thing about you. I heard you were scratching.
All right, so I just muted Shane. Those of you in the chat room, did that make the scratching go away? Wiggity, 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 whack. No, you were scratching. All right, so Daniel says the scratching went away. All right, so I'm going to bring you back in, Shane. Whatever you were doing to make the scratching happen, don't do it no more.
All right.
Oh, sorry, you unmuted. I forgot you. Go unmute you.
You can't unmute me. You can only mute me. All right, we good? All right. So next up on the list was the sysinternal stuff is updated. Good old friends like, you know, sysmon and procmon and regmon and all that stuff. They released a whole bunch of that new stuff. I saw that on Twitter last week. I haven't downloaded any of it, but man, that brings me back to 97. Might've been the first time I used that stuff. 96.
Oh man, it's been forever. Yeah. And those are some great tools. If you haven't used those, so those are Windows tools. But for SharePoint folks, we have fixed so many SharePoint problems over the years watching, you know, failed access to registry keys and files that's been, oh, this is why Surge is broken. So for any SharePoint admin worth his salt has to have the sysinternals tools.
Yeah, that's, I was like way back machine when I was reading that. You know, this is a hot-headed 19-year-old who used to yell at older than me people because I control their computers.
Yeah, they and I tell you, back in the day, so that was, and I worked with those guys on some stuff. So that was Mark Rusinovich, who is now like one of the smartest guys at Microsoft, and Bryce Cogswell was the other guy that was with him at SysInternals. But some of those tools that they put out, like you said, like in 96 and 97, they were like magic. Like they did things that I thought were just not possible.
Yeah, you wonder. I mean, I'd love to hear the story how they came up with that stuff. And, you know, was the product team feeding them the hooks and things, or did they literally just sit down and say, we're going to hack this thing and figure it out? I'd love to know about it.
Yeah, I've never met Bryce in person. I've met Mark and talked to him a number of times. Mark is absolutely smart enough that I can see him just sitting down and figuring it out.
Yeah. Mark's stories, though, right? They never involve computers. Every time I've ever hung out with him, it's always goes to other places real quick. So,
Yep. He's a car guy, so we always have that talk about. I've got my Trans Am. He's got his, you know, Ferrari. we travel in different circles in that regard, but, you know, always good to talk.
Yeah. We're, how are we on time? We
I've got a clue. Yeah, right, we're so, well, the next one's a good one. So tell the folks about SQL reporting services.
Yep. So another fun one, and good old Daniel Glenn was the one that tweeted this and brought it to my attention. But SQL reporting services v.next, so the one after SQL 2016, will not have a SharePoint integrated mode. And you know, we've been kicking the SharePoint integrated mode down the road since at least SQL 2008. And that's just where you could do the reporting services, where you could actually kind of push your reporting services into your SharePoint form, and then you could interact and manage all your reports through document libraries instead of having the separate reporting product and UI. And it's been a great feature. It's caused days of my life to be wasted troubleshooting Kerberos issues and integration issues, because they never really worked the way that I wanted them to. But it's kind of sad to see it go. But at the same time, if you read the article in details, right, you go through the stages of grief and you actually accept it, you'll see that most of what they're doing is actually getting us what we've always wanted, just the ability to push reports in there, but not have to do all the hooks with SharePoint. So it should be a win. You know, that will be in the details, but it looks like a good update nonetheless.
Yeah, and they hit that part that always rings true for me. I used to work for a software company, and there's just a finite amount of time to do stuff. And so basically what they were saying was, you know, if you've played with reporting services over the years, there was some set of features that worked in native mode, some set of features that worked in SharePoint integration mode, and maintaining all that just took time. And if they ditch one, then that's resources they can put on doing other things. And I mean, I've seen that in person. I believe that. And so I'm sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And I think it's going to be tough too, right? Because we're still right now, if you're in the BI space at all, right? There is no right answer. I mean, we got Excel services, we got Power BI, we got Power Apps, we got reporting services, we got Power Pivot, Performance Point. I mean, we've got all of these different tools. And so actually we've been working on a project with trying to get some dashboards built in SharePoint Online. And it's like, all right, well, this tool does half of it, and this tool does half of it, but those two tools don't talk to each other. It really kind of sucks. I don't enjoy it right now.
Well, and it's been that way for 10 years. I mean, every BI story has been that way. And I remember back in the day, you know, working on stuff, and you know, one of the BI tools would do everything except this one piece that only this other tool did. And I don't know if the installation's gotten any better, but boy, back in the day, getting some of those BI tools to talk were just
torture. Maddening.
Like, was it a Performance Point where you had to log in as a service account with IE and make settings, trusted settings or something, for Performance Point to work on the server? And
yeah, and that was the thing. Like, so we were trying to use Power BI, and it turns out that Power BI really doesn't do KPIs. They haven't gotten there yet. You know, you can do like a one KPI, but you can't just do like a list KPI, you know, and the story starts out so good. Power BI, one of the sources can be SharePoint Online. So you get all excited, like, yes.
Yeah.
But guess what? You can't publish back to SharePoint Online. You got to publish to a dashboard and then reference it to a page view or web part.
Yeah.
That, a rough week.
That story's always been painful. So glad to see that's same old, more things change.
Yeah.
So tell us about the Azure Bot Service.
Yeah, write your own bots, right? Bots are the way of the future. No more talking to people. Just have a bot and tell it to do things, right? We covered a few weeks ago, there's, you know, this Azure bot for Slack now, right? You can hop into Slack or Skype and say, build me a VM, and the bot will just go and do it. Well, now what Microsoft's done, because they're actually getting a little smarter in their old age, is they made that whole bot infrastructure a bunch of APIs, so you can go and leverage all their hard work there, and you can build your own bot to do Azure-y things. So, you know, or not even just Azure things, but bot-y things. Is bot-y a word? So it's a pretty exciting little thing in public preview. I'm not a developer. I'm clearly never going to leverage it, but I can yell at developers and tell them to write me stuff using that API. It must be easy, right? Is it API?
Or you can yell at the bot and have it yell at somebody, you know. So that I was on an interesting discussion on Facebook, this was kind of the catalyst for it, about replacing humans, you know. And my take on any of these things is anytime anybody's like, well, times are changing and all this kind of stuff, I'm like, it's always been this way. Everything that is happening to us now happened to people 100 years ago, happened to people 50 years ago. You know, we yell about the millennials. Our parents yelled about the Gen Xers. I mean, that's just how that goes. There's nothing new. And then somebody came back and they said an interesting thing. They said, well, up until the 20th century, every tool, every machine, every whatever was replacing humans, but it was replacing muscle. It was replacing work, whereas bots now are replacing brain power, not muscle. And that's how this is different. And I'm like, I'd never really thought of it like that before, but that is a different thing, you know, because you're like, well, we've had tools forever. We had hoes and then we had combines. Yes, but it was just improving on replacing, you know, muscle. Whereas now we're doing brain power. Put that noodle away. You're just embarrassing yourself.
No, they couldn't see me flex anyway because you know Google hates me, so it's good.
You were flexing?
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, that's a great way of looking at it. And so that'll be the question, right? Now, your good buddy Elon, right? He's convinced that we're going to have to do a living wage for everyone because the machines will just do everything one day. And that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and the problem with that is that argument has been going on for 100 years now. I mean, they've been saying for 100 years, you know, that we were just going to get so efficient at work that we were going to have 15-hour work weeks. And hell, as recently as Nixon was saying when he was president, you know, 40 years ago that the work weeks were going to, but that just never seems to happen. So I'll be curious if in my lifetime that becomes a thing or not.
You know, I'm still rooting for us to be able to be downloaded into a computer before, you know, our lifetimes are over. So I can just live forever and be a Shane bot.
Oh, won't that be glorious?
Oh. I will live and I'll spawn, right? Because then I'll just copy myself and I'll just send you a copy of me to have with you all the time.
I can think of nothing worse. There's nothing than having you in my ear all the time. Just it'd be like Lawnmower Man infecting every little thing that I have, you know. Oh, how horrible.
You already paved that, though, by accepting Andrew's Surface Charger, right? You've opened the door for us. We're already in.
It's infecting my network right now, and I'm just powerless against it.
All right.
What about the Azure Advisor?
The last one on our list, right? So the Azure Advisor is also in public preview. And so this is just the old idea, and there was a couple more in this space I didn't post, but Azure Advisor is going to go and look at your Azure account and say, hey, you should probably be doing these best practices, make these type of suggestions and just try and keep people out of trouble, right? I'm guessing it does things like scan and make sure your password's not, you know, pass that word one and that type of stuff. It's not meant to be a security scanner, but I think in the quest to do best practices, they're probably knocking off some of that stuff. You know, they're going to say, hey, you've got an availability set. You've only got one computer in that availability set. Duh. Right. So I think that's a pretty nice approach from Microsoft to try and help people. Just figure out what it is they could do better in their Azure accounts because, you know, can't get enough Azure resources in the world to do that stuff. So,
yeah. And Azure, you know, you and I made fun of Azure years ago when it first came out, it seemed kind of worthless, but now they're adding functionality and improvements to that so fast. I can't even begin to keep up. I mean, it does so much now. So you need something like this.
Well, yeah, we can make this whole show just about Azure. I think there are some shows on that, but there's just such a constant drip of, hey, this new thing came out, this new thing came out, this new thing. The problem that they have is a lot like we have in SharePoint sometimes, right? There's 7 tools to do the same thing, so which one of the tools do you use? That's where it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, so we have a note in our notes about talking about PowerShell. We've been threatening to do that for a while. We're still not gonna do it this week, but I did wanna talk about one fun thing. So Jill and I are out on our trip and I'm taking pictures with my phone and they're getting uploaded to Dropbox and she's taking pictures with her phone and they're getting uploaded to Dropbox and we've got a camera. And so I was putting all the pictures together into one folder so we could look at everything. And I realized that the one problem was the file names for our pictures from the camera were not the date. So everything didn't filter right. So my camera takes them, and it's year, month, day, hour, minute, second. So everything sorts correctly. And hers was doing the same thing. But the ones from the camera were, you know, whatever. So I break out PowerShell. I'm on vacation. I break out PowerShell. I had a script where I could pull the date that a picture was taken out of the EXIF information, rename all the files. Smartest man alive. Run the script, renames everything. Then I realized that we hadn't changed the time zone on the camera. So St. Lucia is 2 hours ahead of Iowa, daylight saving, all that, everything's 3 hours off. No problem. Still the smartest man alive. So I go into my script, and where it pulls the date out, I add 3 hours to it to match it up with whatever. Everything's good to go. Then I realized not only was the clock in the camera off by the time zone, it had drifted 40 some minutes. So like, oh my. So, but anyway, PowerShell to the rescue every time I did it. And fortunately, I was smart enough. I had an extra set of the pictures, so I would drag them off to another folder, run my script and all that. But that was good stuff. I mean, we had 300-400 pictures that we needed to rename and make everything fit together. So when you're looking through them, you know, the timeline all matched up and PowerShell was there and it was awesome.
Yeah, that's PowerShell. I keep preaching that, right? Especially on Twitter. You've got to learn PowerShell. If you don't know PowerShell, it's just, it makes even your vacations better. That's how great it is. And I think the good news is the message is getting received. My second most popular video has been PowerShell for Beginners, right? Where I literally teach get command and get help. And people are just eating that thing alive on the old YouTubes and Channel 9. So,
yeah, it's good stuff. And so now that I've got this script kind of tweak that works, I'm probably going to go back to, you know, pictures I've taken over the years with digital cameras and just start churning through those and renaming everything so they all sync up right. And yeah. So maybe if I get that tweak the way that I want, I might blog that and share that with everybody.
It'll make it Andrew and I's life easier as we steal all your digital content, right? If you get it all tagged that way, it'll make it go faster for us. So
make it easier for Blake to post the embarrassing pictures of me in the Slack channel. So I'm helping everybody.
Yep. All right, it's 5:50. We gotta call this thing done.
Yeah, we gotta feed you. Thanks everybody. Hopefully by next week we'll have a better streaming solution for you guys. Thanks for sticking around. I'll be in the chat room for a bit. Shane's gotta go get some Chick-fil-A, I assume.
Yep.
So see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.